Well, let me begin by telling you about Bernard, who is a timid man and had been wanting courage for years, and finally he decided just to be dangerous. So he decided for the very first time he would do something dangerous on the edge, so contrary to his nature. He was going to go skydiving. So he goes skydiving for the very first time, gets in the plane. They begin to soar in the heavens. And while he's up there, a guy just comes up to him and begins to hook himself up to him and connect himself to him. And the next thing he knows, they're thrown out the window, the side of the plane, and free falling, plummeting toward earth. And about halfway down, the guy that had strapped himself to timid Bernard looks up and says, "Oh, I forgot to ask you, how long have you been the instructor?" I think this past season that hopefully we're stepping out of, there's been a lot of that. We feel, you know, you feel like you're free falling and you're not finding much help. And you may feel out there all alone by yourself. I want to talk to you this morning about supernatural help for stressed out saints. Supernatural help for stressed out saints. Now the aim this morning is basically to encourage you to know there are some things that you can do to help deal with the stress in your life, to overcome the anxieties that you may battle with. A lot of them out there today. And all of us are aware that just a short trip into social media these days, you can get more stuff on you than you can get off the rest of the day. It's just out there like cuckleburrs in a field. It sticks to your stalks. I don't know if you remember those days. But they get on there quickly and they don't come off so easily. That's kind of what culture is like right now. But folks, we are not like those who know not the Lord. If you look at the statistics, Christians and non-Christians alike, there is just a large amount of people that aren't handling their anxieties well. And yet, the scripture is so clear, we have resources the world does not have. We have access to help that those who are not calling on the name of the Lord do not have. We ought to be able to soar better than we do based on what has already been done for us. So I believe the Lord is going to help us this morning. I'm going to be sharing three strategic truths that will help us get the help that's available to us. But it involves us. Think of it this way. I'm going to learn today some tools that I can use to help me control the anxiety levels in my life. And you may say, well, what kind of stuff are you talking about? Well, I just ran off a small list here online from WebMD. What are the psychological and emotional signs of stress? Depression or anxiety, anger, irritability, restlessness, feeling overwhelmed, unmotivated, unfocused, trouble sleeping or sleeping too much, racing thoughts, constant worry, problems with your memory, problems concentrating, making bad decisions. Some of the things that can be going on that cause these kind of stresses are the death of a loved one, divorce, loss of a job, increase in financial obligations, getting married, moving to a new home, chronic illness or injury, emotional problems. And you know, some of these were good things. It doesn't mean that it doesn't create some stress. And you could add to that list things like economic crises, pandemics, political unrest, social unrest, societal conflict. All of these things that have been going on in large measure. And there are people that long lines that are signing up for, psychotropic help drugs, antidepressants. There's a place, at times there's a place for that to help us. But I'm talking about a culture where this has become chronic because of the way we are choosing to live our lives. And even as believers, because we are not choosing to respond to what's happening around us the way the scripture teaches us to. I'm learning this along the way as you are. But help us here from God's word today. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read three scriptures. Then I'm going to go back, and out of each of those scriptures, I'm going to lift a principle to help us. I'm going to make it easy for us to remember. But I have a pretty good degree of confidence this morning that if you'll stay with me, if you'll listen and ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and really make the connection between what I'm saying and what we're seeing in God's word, that's so important. So your spirit, man, your faith can grow. I believe that we can leave here today with help for what we're dealing with, for what you are dealing with. And across the room this morning, what people are having to deal with. Some people may just be juggling a couple of things. And there may be others of you, like one more brick on the load, and I'm collapsing. You're stepping on my last nerve. That kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of people that are across the spectrum there. So, I'm going to read these scriptures, okay? And then we'll come back, and I'm going to try to do a good job of discovering this, getting it done, and us living, hopefully living here and living with it. Here's the scripture. First one comes out of, for note takers, the first one comes out of 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Here they are. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'll stop there. Did you notice? There's something we're told to do to humble ourselves. And then God will respond. He's going to exalt us at the right time. We're told something else we've got to do. Cast our cares upon him. We're told why? Because he cares for us. And then we're told that there is a devil who's wanting to take us out. So there's something we can do. God is saying, I'll help. And there's a devil that wants to take you out. We'll come back to that in a moment. Now I want to read the next scripture, okay? Are you with me? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Are you ready? Here we go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now here again, believers are being spoken to, and we're told there's something we need to do. Count it all joy. Count what? When you're in these trials that are going on around your life, against your life. He says, why? Because you know that the test of your faith is going to help you. It's going to build patience. It's going to build perseverance. And in the middle of that, God's got a plan and purpose that he's going to build something into your life that you did not have when you went into that trial. So you won't lack anything. In other words, you can be upgraded by the thing sent to create your downfall. That's amazing when you think about it. All right, third scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this scripture tells us something we got to watch out for. Like, I don't have a problem. I don't have any sin. I ain't nothing wrong, you know. We can deceive ourselves. Why? Because we're not embracing truth. But if we'll confess, I'll talk about what that means just a little bit. If we confess, there's something God says he'll do. He'll cleanse and he'll forgive. Now, understanding the context of salvation, there's a lot can be said about that, how we're forgiven totally when we're saved. But what I'm doing, out of each of these scriptures, I'm just wanting to lift a principle that we find and apply it to this area of our life this morning about being stressed out and anxious and overwhelmed and like, I can't deal with this. Because you can face whatever you're having to face this morning with the supernatural help that's available to you. And there's a bunch of it, but here are three scriptures that will give us three strategic truths that'll help us. All right, are we on the same page? Number one, I want to tell you, cast it, C-A-S-T. Say cast it. You're tossing it, you're throwing it, you're casting it. Why? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What is the opposite of humbling yourself? Being proud, boastful. Now, the scripture comes and it's written and it's connected. It's important to always look at what's around it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. What can he do? Humble yourself under his mighty hand. And he will exalt you. It's a picture of, you know, like being under that load. But yet you're coming over here under God's hand. He's got it. And you humble yourself. And he just takes care of it and raises you up at the right time. So that's the picture. You humble yourself. But if you're not humble, you're in that place of pride. I don't need any help. I don't have any problem. I got this. I can handle this. And that can get us into more trouble at times than we can get out of if we're not careful. Because we'll end up taking on so much stuff that we don't need to take on. We'll be saying yes when we should be saying no. We'll let other people take stuff they ought to be doing and get us to do it. And then the next thing you know, you feel like you're responsible for your life and this person's life and this situation. And you've got to be Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It. And it's just more than you can handle. The truth is, there are times when you are just being responsible and trying to handle what you know you're supposed to handle, and it's more than you can handle almost. What I'm saying is, we're believers. We have access to supernatural help. And here it is, cast it, because he says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Humble yourself and cast it. Cast it. This is a nautical term. That was used in the Greek language, and it was used among Greek culture, like a sailor in a boat that would take an anchor and cast it overboard. Or like if they're about to sink and you're casting the goods overboard to keep from the storm taking it. It's to cast something overboard, to let it go, to toss it aside, to get it out of the way. And yet we're told specifically not only where to cast it, but where to cast it. He says, casting all your cares upon him. That word cares is the Greek word, the root of it is the word merizo. And it means to divide or to fracture, to portion out. And so what Peter is saying is, those things that kind of fracture your life. And we use this terminology. Oh, I'm about to have a come apart. You know, or I'm coming apart at the seams. You know, this is unraveling on me. I'm having a nervous breakdown. So, I mean, that's the kind of things, that's the picture here. So if we just want to take that, casting all the things that make you feel like you're coming apart at the seams, that makes you think you're about to have a nervous breakdown, that makes you feel like your life's just being fragmented. And the problem with that is just divided. I've got this going on, this going on, this going on, this going on, this going on. I just can't handle it. And what can happen is we just withdraw and we escape. And we can find help in this pill bottle, or we can find help in the bottle of this drink, or stuff you snort up your nose, or something, some type of other behavior that becomes an escape. And some of them not quite so, you know, whether it can be just going off in the woods and not coming back. You know, just escaping and running. Casting. When I was first called into the ministry. I was 25 years of age, and we just had Andrew. We just built I had built us a little house in the middle of a 5-acre section, a big woods, and so we were surrounded by woods. We had a little winding gravel road to our house. It was a quarter mile long, and just out in the country. And so down below the house, just lots of woods. And so I had a place that I would go to. And when Andrew got old enough to walk around, he's our firstborn. When he got old enough to toddle around, well, then I would take him with me. And we'd go down behind this house. And I had this place that I'd go and I'd pray. I'd preach to the squirrels. I'd ponder. And I started gathering rocks and I made me an altar. It wasn't like some overly religious thing. It's just like, I'm going to put these rocks here and this is going to mark my meeting place with God. And so I'd do that. Every time I'd go, I'd add rocks. And so when he got big enough to toddle and go down there with me, I'd teach him and he'd get some rocks with me. We'd add, he was just a little fella, and add rocks to that pile. And before long, that's a big pile of rocks there. But what that place became for me was, because as a young pastor, and I was highly skilled and trained when I was called in the ministry. I'd preach 5 times when they called me to pastor. I was gourd green. I mean, yeah, probably if you saw behind my ears, it looked like watermelons. It's so green. But I didn't know how you do the Lord's Supper. How do you baptize someone? How do you build a sermon? How do you, all this stuff. It's just all new. And then, you have little frictions and stuff in the church. Well, I found I needed a meeting place with God. And so I'd go down to that little altar. I'd just pour my heart out and I'd pray. I'd talk to the Lord. And to me, this scripture is basically saying that. And sometimes we're carrying stuff we don't need to carry anymore. We picked up stuff along the way. Well, this happened, I got offended here, or this happened to me, or this situation's weighing on me, and this person's needing this help and all that. And it just gets too much. All of us need like an old-fashioned altar where we can get along with the Lord and just let go of stuff and give it to Him. That's what Peter's saying. Casting all your cares, those things that got you weighed down, those things that's got you wound up, those things that got you ready to fly apart, sometimes fly off the handle. That's another picture for you. But it can just cause us to do crazy things. And we need to learn to cast it on the Lord, to give it to the Lord. What are you carrying this morning that you don't need to be carrying? Have you taken anything on that you shouldn't have taken on? Are you still carrying something you should have given to the Lord a long time ago? What are you trying to handle that the Lord hasn't given you the okay to handle? What are you trying to fix that you haven't got a word from the Lord that you're the one that's supposed to fix it? Because sometimes we wear ourselves thin trying to do the Holy Spirit's work without ever asking Him if He needs us. What are you carrying that you need to cast upon Him this morning? Now, it's interesting the way Peter writes this. Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. I mean, that's the invitation. It says, I love you. I want to help you with this. Are you allowing Him to help you? Jesus lived His life this way. He'd go off up into the mountain. He'd say, guys, you hang back here. I'm going on up here. Sometimes he'd go all night. And the secret of His life we find in John 5. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Can we say that? Are we only doing what we had a good idea about what doing? Or we're only doing what we saw needed to be done? And I understand there are some things that are necessities and it's just incumbent upon us to do them. But sometimes the stuff that really wears on us, we're engaging in something we never got a green light to engage. Are you carrying something you need to cast on the Lord? Give it to Him this morning. Like that old song, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. And he goes on to say, when the trials and stuff come and go, where can I go? But to the Lord. Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along, sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where can I go? But to the Lord. Yeah, I know that's simple stuff, isn't it? Don't get hung up on the geography of where that altar might be. Sometimes it might be in your car riding down the road. It might be on your back porch. It might be in the bedroom with the door closed as you and God. Find a place. Get with God. Lay your burden down. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. Casting your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Amen? Now, let's go to that next scripture. There's a lot more. Let's jump on to the next one. Cast it. Now, cast it's when you're carrying something you don't need to be carrying. Next thing, we come to James and what he has to say to us. He says, count it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, this is interesting. This word count actually refers to a position, being a leader, someone who's leading something, someone who leads, someone who's out front, someone that's being followed. It's even in the area of thoughts, when you get things in order, what's the most prominent thing? And he says, count it all joy. That word joy is the Greek word kara. We named our daughter Kara Beth, Kara Beth. Kara means joy. Beth means is from the Hebrew Bethos means house or Bethel, house. She's a house of joy. That's her name. Well, Kara means joy. Karoi means rejoice. Karis means grace. They all have the same root. Greek word karis. Karis, kara, karoi. They're cognates. And it's really interesting when I dove a little deeper into this, and just to give a different insight to how you would interpret or describe joy, is that there's a grace that's part of it. And one of the word study commentaries says that joy is grace recognized. Now, that word count, again, it means lead. So when you put this together, the idea is this. James is saying, when you're in the middle of the mess, the trials, perismos is the Greek word. It means to be tested or to be tempted. It can have both connotations. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, I've seen this in life. I've had it in my life. Sometimes you're in something. God will use it as a test, and Satan will use it as a temptation. And how we respond will determine whether we pass God's test or we fall into the devil's temptation. So when you put this together, James is saying, when you're in the middle of that and you're surrounded about it, let your leading thought be to recognize grace. In other words, when the fire's on, when you're in the middle of it, look for the grace of God that's going to manifest, that's available to you. He promises that He's going to be there. What is grace? It's God's power to handle life the way God calls us to handle it. It's God's power to do God's will. It's God's, when grace comes, it even fuels our desires to will God's will. It gives us the power to do God's will. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, yet not I. But the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than any of you, but not me. It was God's grace in me. So great, Paul saw grace as that which enabled him to do God's will and to do God's work in God's way. So in the middle of the trial, you're being tested. Your faith's going to be, am I going to do this God's way? Am I going to pass the test? You're being tempted by the enemy. Am I going to fall into this temptation? What determines it is by what your leading thoughts are. Are you looking for great God's grace in the situation? In other words, Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing in every situation. He was looking for that manifestation of God's grace, of what God wanted to do in that situation. So that's what He's saying, count it. All joy. Look for grace. Look for God's grace. Depend upon God's grace. Utilize God's grace in this situation. Did you notice what that scripture actually says? Dear brethren, count it what? But what's that all mean? You don't get a mulligan on not doing this. There's no door B that you can choose. You can do it this way. No, he said count it all joy. In other words, in all these situations, there's going to be grace and you need to look for it. You partner with God and you respond the way God wants you to respond. That's what Jesus did. And he said that your faith's going to be tested. But what is your faith? Are you going to believe God or not? Are you going to believe what God's word says or not? Are you going to behave the way God's word says you ought to behave? That means that you're really believing it because you're actually doing it. And we all know the doing of it's much harder than the preaching about it. Consider it all, count it all, esteem it all joy. Let your leading thought be to identify God's grace for that situation. Count it. I want to share a story with you now. I've shared this 2 or 3 times through the years, but it so nails what I believe this scripture teaches and so many other scriptures. And I'm going to do this in honor of the fact that Andrew and his family had stomach virus this past week. So that it's very timely. When I was in seminary, and it's like taking second year Greek, had big test, studied. I was going to get up early the next morning, you know, study. And we began hearing what parents do not enjoy hearing in the middle of the night. Up chucking. Andrew was stricken by the stomach bug. And he was upstairs, but we had no difficulty hearing the little fellow just up chucking away. How much chuck can a little man chuck? Okay. So, he had it badly. And so Mickey and I go up there, and she takes care of him, get him cleaned up. And being the good father that I am, I'm going to clean up the all evidence of the upchucking. And he made it to the bathroom for the most part, but he had done a good job of repainting the floor. Let me just say it that way. And so I'm in there. It's a little small bathroom, tile floor. I'm in there barefooted in the middle of the night. And I found me 2 dry places over against the wall. I got me a towel, a wet towel, and I'm cleaning it up. Whoa, you know, cleaning it up. Moved this foot, hit a slick spot. Bing. I fall right in the middle of it. Splat! I thought, I got to get out of this, and I raise up real quick. And I caught the toilet, that ceramic toilet tissue holder, right in the small of my back there, which immediately sent me right back to the floor. And now I'm wreathing in all the upchuckness in the room. And I'm like, Lord, I left houses and land and family to come here to pursue your will. You know, I'm in seminary. I'm studying your word day and night, you know, writing papers and diving into the Greek. And Lord, my kid's sick. Why is he getting sick? It's like the devil's winning. Where are you, Lord? You know I need to get up early, but not this early in this way. And I mean, I am complaining. I'm giving the Lord my full pity story. Mickey has now taken Andrew downstairs in our bedroom, fixed him a pallet on the floor. And finally, I get it all cleaned up, get myself cleaned up. And I hobble back down because now my back is just in bad shape. I crawl into the bed. Maybe I can sleep an hour before I had to get up and study for that test, you know. I'm laying there, and then I hear it. Because he had upchucked so much, one side of his head was just plugged. And he's trying to breathe. And I thought, who can sleep with this, you know? I'm laying there. Then in the middle of the darkness came his little voice. He's, I sure am glad God made me with two nose holes. I was so convicted. Saying, here I am, you know, the man of God. You know, I'm in all this, and all I've been doing is complaining. Here's this little guy. He's got a terrible stomach virus. He's sick as can be. And what's he doing? He's praising God. Lord, thank you. I got two nose holes. One of them was plugged up, but that other one was working. And that's what he chose to focus on. You find this through the scripture. Paul and Silas in jail. Let's have a song service. Let's praise God a while. Children of Israel outnumbered by their enemies. Let's march around these walls. Let's just praise God. A little guy before a big giant that's cursing him. But yet he knew that his heaven-sent stone would take out that foul-mouthed giant. In every trial, our leading thought needs to be, okay, God, what's up here? Dr. Carolyn Leaf and her, she's written a lot of books about the brain, the mind, really good stuff. And she talks about how humor and empathy and compassion and gratitude are really big deals to good mental health. You find that right in the scripture. I can just curse and complain and criticize, or I can face this trial and look, find me some grace and praise God and take hold of that grace and handle this God's way and be a shining light in the darkness. Now, let's just have a moment of honesty in the room, okay? Let's all get together. How many of us can truthfully say that most all the time when we're in a situation like that, that's the first thing we do is count it all joy? Now, I guess most of us got more F's than we want to talk about. But there's supernatural help that comes to us when we use our faith and pass that test. We're kissed by the grace of God, and supernaturally we're able to do what we could not do naturally. And that makes us different. Last thing briefly, I've talked to you about cast it. I've talked to you about count it. Here's the third one. Confess it. I'm not through toe stomping yet. Confess it. 1 John chapter 1, we saw it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. A conditional sentence. If we do this, God will do that. Let's take that principle. And the meaning of that word. The word, Greek word confess, many of you are probably aware, you've heard teaching on this because it's good. Homologeo. Homo means the same. Logeo means to speak or to verbalize, vocalize, to speak or say the same thing. When we confess, and when it's in reference to God, we're dealing with the Lord here about our sinfulness. When we agree with him, yes, that we've sinned, that we are alienated from him, or we have been unrighteous. When we humble ourselves and we confess that and get just say, Lord, I agree with you. You are right. I am wrong. Then there's cleansing. And what a beautiful word to be cleansed. All that muck and mire we get on us from our negative, nasty thinking, from being in the world and dealing with all this stuff, that by just getting in agreement with God, we can experience a cleansing and an offloading of the weight of having done wrong, been wrong, behaved wrongly. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's supernatural. To confess, to get in agreement. And just like we talked about to cast it, we're getting rid of something we shouldn't be carrying, or to, as we just talked about in the book of James, to count it. We're dealing with thoughts, getting our thoughts in alignment, in agreement with God. You know, we're not going to think the things we don't need to think, and we are going to think the things that we ought to think. We come to confess, it's more with saying the things we need to be saying and not saying the things we shouldn't be saying. We all know death and life, the Bible says, are in the power of the tongue. You and I were created. It's just the way it works. Our voice, what we verbalize, activates things in the realm in which we live. God created Adam. He told him to name the animals. And the first thing Adam's given to do, whatever he called them, the Bible says that's what they become. That's the way God created the world. He spoke it. It came into being. And he created man in his image. We have that capacity. Our words have power. Even secular sociologists have acknowledged this. But it's all in the Word of God. Your words are weighty. Your words matter. And so when you voice agreement, one of two things are going to happen. It's going to be death or it's going to be life. It's going to be blessing. It's going to be cursing. You're going to build up. You're going to tear down. And we make those choices by the words we speak. Now, here's the deal, because this all connects together, is your brain and your mind are two different things. Your brain is the physical organ that resides in your cranial cavity, your skull. Your brain, the house for your brain is called your skull. That's the physical organ. Your mind is not your brain. Your mind operates your brain. Your mind utilizes your brain. Your mind is part of your soul, the inanimate part of you. When you die, your brain dies, but your mind's still alive. You still have cognition. You still have the ability to communicate, to know and be known, and so forth. But your brain is just a physical organ. Now, here's the kicker, knowing this. Your brain operates in relation to your body in this way. Your brain will be influenced and do what your mind tells your mouth to say. Now, let me repeat that. Your brain will respond to what your mind tells your mouth to say. So what you say matters. It affects your physical health. It affects the relationships around you. It affects the level of stress in your body. It affects the release of hormones in your body. Because a lot of people are overstressed because we can become addicted to our own adrenaline, the drug our own body makes, which is good. We're created to fight or flight. That's a good basic instinct, fight or flight. And alarm mode, where your body's able to do things it can't normally do. In emergency situations, we've all heard the story where someone, a car falls on somebody, and somebody miraculously, because of the adrenaline rush, is able to lift that car up enough, and that, you know, it's just crazy, superhuman stuff. That happens because of that release in your body, and then all the different kind of pleasure hormones and all that people can get addicted to. But that's made for emergency use. But in our culture, we're kind of geared to become chronically addicted to this. Because we do too much. We stay so busy. We heap so much on ourselves. And our body's saying, help, help. And we're paying no attention. And what makes it worse is when we begin to speak in agreement. What's the devil want to do? What's the Bible say he comes to do? There you go. He's roaming to and fro to seek whom he may devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So this teaching this morning, this part, helps us identify one way the enemy gets to us and one way the Lord wants to deliver us from that. And that's through the words that we speak. I made a list here of some things that we commonly say. Now, sometimes we say things in jest. That doesn't mean they may not have power. But here's the way I see it when I put all this together. To confess something, to come in agreement and to speak it is so powerful that God's plan of salvation utilizes that. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then believe, there's the faith. Believe in your heart God raised from the dead. God will respond and you'll be saved. Activates heaven on your behalf. So you take that principle of confession, and when you begin saying things, and yet you have some faith attached to it, maybe you get real angry. Real angry. Just lose your temper. I could kill you right now. Well, that anger is an expression of a belief you have in that moment, and it can really do a lot of damage to the person hearing it and to you as well. And we say things like, this makes me sick. Yep, it can. Just keep saying it. This is killing me. I can't take anymore. This is driving me crazy. If you don't stop that, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm never going to be able to learn to do this. I probably won't sleep a wink tonight. On and on it goes. You know what we're doing? We're prophesying our tomorrow. We're prophesying our future. Just like in the Old Testament, the enemy tried to seduce Balaam to release a curse instead of a blessing. The enemy today that's roaming to and fro wants to use those trials and circumstances we're going through to get us into a place of agreement with him, so that we begin our mind, because we're not considering it joy, our mind begins to send information to our mouth to begin to prophesy out our mouth what the devil wants to bring about. And so we release a curse instead of a blessing. And sometimes we can do that to our children because of what we say to them. We don't understand the power of words. All you got to do to know the power of it, do you remember when you got cursed out in grammar school, elementary school? You remember when that teacher told you you were dumb, you'll never amount to anything, or you had a parent or an authority figure rake you over the coals and tell you how sorry you were because of something you did? Why do you still remember it? It still has some sting on it if you're not careful. Because it was received. It was spoken with some ump behind it. A belief about you. And received because you viewed that person to be an authority. And now that seed grows in you. But God's word can liberate us from these lies, from these bondages. It's just so important that we understand this. So you cast it. Get in that altar. Lord, I'm just giving this to you. I know you love me. I humble myself before you. Your time, your way. I just trust you with it. To trust him. To cast it on him. Leave it with him. To trust him. And then to view it through the light lens and think about it correctly and count it all for joy. God's doing something here. The enemy's wanting this for my downfall, but God's going to use it for my upgrade. I'm going to praise him. Yeah, I'm hitting a wall. I'm just going to praise him till that wall falls down. Yes, I'm in a hole, but thank God when I look up, I see light. I'm going to focus to the light I see instead of the darkness all around me. You make a choice. What are you carrying you don't need to be carrying? How have you been responding to the stressors? What words have you been speaking? There's supernatural help available for us. And it really boils down to learn how to get with Jesus, to think the right way, and say the right things. And it will shift how stress and anxiety affects our life. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want you to stand with me as our worship team comes. I so appreciate you being here this morning. Here's what we want to do. We're going to enter into a time of worship in a moment. And this is a good place for you to find an altar. It could be right where you're standing. That's well and good. But also, I know for me, I've got mile marker moments in my life. And you know what? Several of those mile marker moments is when I decided by faith, it doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking, God's talking to me. And I need what I feel the Holy Spirit's saying He wants to do for me. And I made my way to an altar, and I found a place, and I got along with God. And I'll tell you, when I've done that, in response to the Lord's leading, I got up a different man. Got up a lighter man. More refreshing, more strength, a renewed vision. It's amazing what can happen in a moment when we just let, give it to Jesus. And why don't you ask for the grace to look for the grace? And why don't you and I affirm one another today and make a commitment together? Let's line up our thoughts and our words with God's plans and purposes. I love the way James said it, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If we had to look in the rearview mirror at this past season in our nation, what is it that you picked up that you're carrying that today's a good day to lay it down? We've had no shortage on things to be upset about. There hasn't been a lack of material to criticize. There's not been so few situations we couldn't get stirred up about something. But let's stir ourselves up for the Lord this morning. Let's get our vision focused and our thoughts aligned. And Father, I pray for the revelation. I just pray we'd all realize this morning how powerful these truths are when we put them to work in our life. They're life-changing. Not only ours, but they can affect the people around us. As we worship, if you need to come and pray, if you need someone to pray with you, just come and remain standing, and we'll have people make their way to you and pray with you. But if you want to come just spend a moment alone with the Lord, just find a place and get along with Him, that's fine too. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, confess Him today. I would love the opportunity to pray with you. Or someone else will be here to pray with you. If we have more than one, then you come. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about confessing Him publicly through being baptized. We'll be having a baptism in the next couple of 3 weeks. We have several people to baptize. Maybe this is the place the Lord's saying, you need to plug in here, serve me here at this place called Grace House. We welcome you. We'd love the opportunity to talk to you about that. Just come and let us know. That's what's on your heart. Let's worship Him. Come as the Spirit leads you.